I didn't want to write a contemporary story. I wanted to write a story directly from God's word that would therefore have the power of God's word behind it. God says he doesn't give us his word so that it will be fruitless. He sends it to accomplish a purpose, and it will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. Now, he says that about his word. He doesn't say that about our words. So I took this story of the rich man and Lazarus, which is just 13 verses in Luke chapter 16. But those 13 verses, every word of those 13 verses is included in the book. But of course, there's much more besides. And if you're going to tell a story with the rich man and Lazarus, your storytelling for an extended length is going to require that you supply some details and you invent some things that are not on the pages of Scripture. So the rich man has his five brothers. We're told that in the parable. And so I give each of those brothers a name, a personality. We're told Lazarus is carried to the gates. He's disabled. He's on the streets. I invent some friends that he has, a little Greek orphan boy named Titus. I think Scripture allows us the freedom, especially when it's a parable. And Jesus himself in the parables, obviously, is taking liberty. A sower went out to sow. Is he thinking of one particular guy? Well, he could have been. In this particular case, was he thinking of a literal guy named Lazarus? Well, possibly he was, because it's the only parable with a name. And so here's a specific name. And you can even argue, if he was going to make up a name, he would not make up the name of Lazarus because of the possible confusion. And indeed, there has been this confusion about the other Lazarus who was raised from the dead, the fairly wealthy man who was the brother of Mary and Martha, and we're told his story in John 11. In any case, I think Scripture gives us a liberty to, yes, use our imaginations, but at the same time, ground our imaginations on God's Word so that everything that I said in this book, while there's a number of things that are not in the biblical text, I wanted to make sure that none of them violate or contradict anything in Luke 16 or anything in Scripture. So one of the things I did with this, which was a very challenging and interesting, I realized that if I just told this parable, if I just took these 13 verses from Luke 16, they would not include the gospel. That's not a problem to a reader of the Gospel of Luke, because you have the gospel. The whole thing is the gospel. So in other words, properly understood, these verses must be seen in light of all the rest of the gospel. So what I did was, since I'm working only from these 13 verses, I made Jesus a character in the very story that he told. Because again, you get that when you read the Gospel of Luke. He is the center of the story. So I make him a character, and I actually have him come down the street, and he's outside the rich man's palace, and he comes to Lazarus, and he has a conversation with Lazarus, and he heals another lame man, but he doesn't heal Lazarus. And it's very interesting. But in any case, I make him a character in the story. Well, then his death and his resurrection become a central point to the story, so that then when we view the rich man in hell and Lazarus in paradise, we see them not in those places simply because of the life that they lived or works that they did, bad works in one case, good works in another case, but where we see it in light of the larger gospel message of faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ as the sole payment for our sins and the only means by which, through faith in him, we can have eternal life and spend eternity with God. The name of the book is Eternity, and it's about heaven and hell, and it shows the rich man in hell, it shows Lazarus in heaven, it shows Abraham, the major character in the story, but it also develops Christ as a central character of the story.